What's shaking, my friends? Welcome to my podcast. I am the Trembling EMT, and this is my Parkinson's journey. Welcome back, friends. This is a special edition. I don't even know what to call it. The title of this episode is going to be Punxsutawney. Words can't describe the weekend that I had and the amount of love and community support that was rallied over these two kids that I went to go visit this weekend. So most of it I don't think I've mentioned much of it, but I'm the president of a local chapter of a nonprofit organization called Pink Heels. They're started in 2007 by a firefighter in Arizona. Original mission was to support women battling cancer, any type of cancer. We drive around in pink fire trucks. The mission statement has evolved over the years, and we're known as the People's Charity. Back in July, a gentleman messaged me on Facebook, said, "Hey, we have this little girl, one of our chiefs in the department is having, has this little girl who has this rare cancer. She's fighting the good fight, and we want to show our support." The first time he contacted me, we were like, "Sure, we'll see if we can find your closer chapter, get you in contact with someone that can come out and give you guys some support and help you do the home visit." Told him, give me a month or so. And he did. He gave me about a month, called me back in August, and said, "Hey, have you found anyone?" And at the time, I hadn't found anyone. But as faith may have it, and we required a second truck, which was able to do the drive. I said, the second time he called me, I said, "We're acquiring a second truck. Once I get the truck, I'll let you know." We got the second truck. It could do the drive. So we said, "We're going to go visit you." Now, the trip was almost 300 miles. And it's 300 miles that I do on a daily basis if I needed to. Because these people were amazing. The turnout that was given to these two families, well, originally it was one family, then we found out about a second one. And we did the home visit for two kids, 7-year-old girl and an 11-year-old boy, who are the two strongest people I've ever met. And the community rallied up. 8 fire departments showed up to support and escort us to visit this family. Words can't describe the amount of support and just community love. It's just unbelievable what happened this weekend. I'm lost the words for what happened. And this is the first time I can actually talk about it without bringing myself to tears with just joy and just overwhelming sense of community. Big shout out to my new brother in arms, all in arms, that my new pink brother made this all happen. The man has a heart of gold. And I don't think I'd been, if I was the one organizing what he organized, I couldn't even think of it being that successful. It was just Yeah. I'm trying to put a little video together to post on Facebook and Instagram. So you guys have to check it out. So, next week. Yeah, next week is the first episode of my me taking this podcast live, the radio show on WHRFM.com, World Type Radio, at noon. Please check it out. It's going to be interesting. My first interview is going to be, I don't want to spoil the surprise or the, but lady I met at the Davis Finney Victory Summit, her name is Gretchen. She is, has this amazing project that she's doing that I'm looking forward to seeing and honored to be involved in. Me and the ums. I should start charging a dollar to myself. Go broke by the time I say the second Oh my god. So yeah. Punxsutawney. Alright, I'm going to take a quick break. Word from our sponsors and talk a little more. Alright, I'm here with Mr. Mark Strauss.
You keep doing that. Oh.
Keep doing what? You know what? I didn't notice till when this morning, because I'm putting the videos together. And I'm looking at the video and I said, Mark, who the hell's Mark?
Dude, I laughed so hard and did that yesterday.
No one corrected me. I was just like, I can't believe no one corrected me.
Bobby was too busy playing with the air horn, playing with the siren.
But you didn't even say anything.
I didn't, because it's funny.
And I'm like, I played it back. I'm like, I said Mark. Like, I didn't even meet a Mark this weekend. I'm like, who the hell's Mark?
It's too funny. That's the only reason, buddy.
Thanks. Oh my god. So I started this episode before, and I was just like, I need Matt with me to do this episode, because it's just. It's one of those things that you need two people to tell the story, because one person doesn't do it justice. But I know you found me on Facebook, but how did you hear about the organization? Because that's where the story begins.
Well, honest to God, I've seen pictures, videos, I've seen the pink trucks floating around. And just one day I was sitting at the house. And I thought, oh my God, this would be the most amazing thing ever to have come and see Lindsay. You know, and at the time I didn't know about Braden. The whole Braden thing kind of was real quiet. Nobody really talked about it. It was real hush hush.
Yeah.
I knew there was a fundraiser for him. But then it kind of went quiet. And then once Lindsay was diagnosed with cancer, then the videos started coming out and the posts started coming out of both of them together. And that's when I thought, okay, because back when McAlmont Township Fire Company did their spaghetti dinner for Braden Critter, which we call him, let him drive the truck. And I saw the videos and I thought, well, all right, let's see what we can do. I wasn't sure, honestly, how anybody would react to just Lindsay.
Yeah.
I knew that she, with her dad being the captain of the fire hall, maybe we had a chance to get one of the pink trucks here. So that's why I reached out. And then it grew to what happened this weekend.
Yeah.
And to Braden and Lindsay and
just the you guys.
Whole... Oh.
And it was like I was telling you about the truck that we took out, Jackie.
Yeah.
It was faith because it all fell into place. Just
right. Because you guys just had Margaret at the time.
Yeah, when you first reached out.
Right. You didn't have Jackie. And then finally when we were able to make things work out, you told me you were bringing Jackie. I just, wow. And when you were saying that you're coming, I was like, even more wow.
Yeah. And the reason you're saying wow is because we drove 280 miles.
Yes.
One way.
Yes. Because there's nothing close. There's nobody close. I mean, there was. And I think maybe when I first looked you guys up, Blossburg,
yes,
where you guys got the truck from, they were still showing a chapter there.
Yes.
But there was no way to contact them, no Facebook page, no nothing. So I looked you guys up. And I wasn't sure exactly where you were at because, you know, it's Slate Belt. I'm not from out that way.
Yeah.
So I don't know, didn't know where exactly you guys were at.
We're literally on opposite ends of the state.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. We're north of Pittsburgh. You guys are north Philadelphia.
Yes.
And when you told me you were coming, you blew my mind. You blew Scott and Christine's minds. You blew Sarah and her husband's minds. Just amazing. But this started off as something small. And grew into a huge, enormous event that I will never in my life forget.
Listen, and like we had spoken before, I messaged you. Like, I've been doing this. I've been with the chapter for 2015. Yeah, 2015. I took over as president 2016. And this was literally the biggest event I've ever been a part of. Like, I knew it was going to be big, but...
When I told you I had 8 fire trucks, and you said, wow.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Just only 8? I figured that somebody had 20 trucks for when you guys showed in town. And then we had 8 fire companies, not just 8 trucks.
Yes.
I didn't even get a count how many trucks we had. I know we had 2 from Lindsay, 2 from Central, 2 from Elk Run, so right there we're at 6.
Yeah.
We had 1 from Big Run, 1 from McCalmont, and we had 3 from Rossiter. I'm shocked. I figured Rossiter would have sent 1. All I can say is thank you, Rossiter. You had the most equipment there. They're a little small, tiny little village. They're not even a town. They're a village right outside of Punxsie. You know, and we run mutual aid out
now,
there all the time.
For us city folks, when you say right outside of Punxsie, that's like 10 miles outside
Well, not 10 miles, but we'll say 5.
Okay.
But still, they're far enough away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I also have to say Perry Township, because they brought 2 trucks. McCalmont brought their truck. For all the outlying companies to come into town, and all of our township too.
And
I mean,
and also
blew my mind.
Because when we finally agreed on a date, it was early September.
Yes, late August, early September, yeah.
So it wasn't that much of a time frame, because, and I realized this when I was talking to that female reporter, Alex.
Right.
And I was like, she's like, how long did it take her, or something like that. I said, it didn't take long to organize it, because it was... because we were going back and forth of who was going to go and if we can find someone sooner. It was actually
a month. It was 1 month from the time that you said your date and the time we did this.
Yeah.
So, and to get a, you know, what we did first during the day, the visit and everything, and then the fundraiser all together in one deal. In a month, everybody pulled together. I just was amazed. I really was. I mean, I can't express the gratitude to all of the firemen in this town.
And hey, listen, that is what this organization was built on. That brotherhood, that community involvement, and that support. So like when you said you guys needed help, it literally did not, we didn't even second guess it. The minute we knew we had a truck to go out there, it wasn't even a thought. We said, okay. And then we didn't even talk about it till the week of. We're like, all right, what do we need to do? And it was
easy.
Yeah. Like I said, and I don't think anyone understood me when I said, me and Bobby did the easiest part, which was just drive there.
Well, but it was easy here too, because everything, it was wild. Everything just fell together. Like, just, I've done so many fundraisers and so many events and planned so much. And it was so stressful. It's like a nightmare.
Oh,
and
yeah. And
this just fell together. All I had to do was make a phone call to each fire station's chief, and they're like, yes, absolutely, we'll be there. And my fire chief, he just embraced this like there was no tomorrow. I mean, you gotta think, it doesn't matter, everybody, I don't care who you are, whether it be a direct family member or your wife's family member, everybody has been affected by cancer.
Yes.
And when this beautiful thing that happened this weekend, and oh my God, was it a beautiful thing.
Oh yeah. There's still messages that I need to reply to of people wanting us to come visit.
And guess what? Who's going to be there?
You are.
Captain.
That's right, Captain. Oh yeah, I told my wife, I said I gave Matt a nickname. She's like, oh my God, he's done for. I said, yeah. Oh yeah. Although, well, one of the guys, he's been chosen for like to move for a good nickname. So I nicknamed him Proby. When he finds out you're a captain, he's going to be all upset. It's going to be hilarious.
Well, here's what I want you to do, Eric. I want you to explain to everybody how you felt this weekend. Because, dude,
I felt at home. Like, I've never felt at home. Like, me and Bobby. Like, Bobby said... Bobby brought it up Sunday morning. We were getting ready, and he's like, dude, this felt like home. And I said, felt like home. It was more than home. It's just, it's something you can't describe when you meet someone for the first time and you stand there and talk to them for hours like you've known them all your life.
It's, right. And that's what I was saying to my friend Amber that came out. I told her, I said, she was standing there freezing, and you guys were, you got out of the truck and you didn't have any heat,
but
just that little oscillator, you know, and I'm like, I can't keep these guys out here anymore. And
oh, we'd have stayed there hours talking to you.
Exactly. I wanted to keep talking to you guys, but I knew I once you told me there was no heat in Jackie, I'm like, guys, yeah, we gotta get you up the hotel. But then when you guys walked in the door and damn near fell to your knees.
Yeah.
I right then there, I just wanted you guys to go upstairs, relax, be comfortable.
So let me tell the story of that, because we have a 1980 Seagrave ladder engine, and the weekend before we went up there, Bobby's our mechanic, our MacGyver. His motto is have truck will travel, and he carries his tools with him all the time. So the weekend before, we were getting ready, and he's like, there's no heater coil in here. And we're like, there's no way we can make that trip without some type of heat. So we went the weekend before, got an inverter, got a heater. We're like, plugged it in. It worked. We're like, we're golden. Luckily for us, we had last Thursday, we had a parade in town. And we ran the lights and everything. And the lights started dying on us. We're like, we told the driver, we're like, dude, shut everything off. Don't run anything. Let it charge. And that's when we're like, we're not going to have heat for this trip. So Bobby's like, I have a generator in my house. I've used it to run my house. There was a storm a couple of weeks ago. We ran the house when the power went out, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right. 11:30 comes around. He brings a generator to the shop, goes to turn it on. This thing doesn't, the wheel just turned. It doesn't even make a noise. And he's like, we're going to get this to work. And 3 hours, and now he fought with it for like 2 hours. And I was like, dude, because he didn't want to drive at night, because we never have good luck at night, as you found out.
Well, we found out, yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, we gotta go. So we go get a generator. Throw it on the top of the truck. We start rolling. Well, we get about halfway there. The sun starts going down, and we're losing our natural source of heat. So we go to turn on the heater, and it just laughs at us. It doesn't even, the light comes on and flickers, and it doesn't even spit heat. So we're like, well, now we got to find a Home Depot. So we find a Home Depot. We found the Home Depot, got a new heater, and we stuck our bunker gear between the seat and the doors, because there's no seal between the doors. So it's, and Bobby had it worse, because every time he had a truck pass by him, he'd feel the rush come through the door.
That poor dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a normal trip for me and Bobby.
But it was an experience.
Oh, my God. It's always an experience. And never the same experience. Like, we can plan for everything, and the one thing we don't plan will happen.
But you gotta say, though, even if a trip goes good, it's always an experience with Bobby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did he tell you about the when we blew a tire?
No, he did not.
Oh, so we started a blanket program back in April. So for every blanket we sell, we donate a blanket, whether to be a cancer center, patient, survivor, whatever, we'll donate a blanket, one for one.
Right.
So I was like, I ordered 100 blankets. I said, we're going to sell blankets like hotcakes. So let's just donate 50 up hand. We'll go to the cancer center, drive the truck up there, drop off 50 blankets. We drive up there, we wind up giving them 54 blankets. It was literally 45-minute trip back in their front. So we come back. We're coming back. The truck starts shaking, and Bobby yells, we're going to blow a tire. And before he says that, I hear a pop, and the truck is shaking like I am.
So which truck was this? Margaret?
Margaret.
Jackie. Margaret.
Margaret. Okay. And he literally, he just keeps driving. He just yells at me, hey, we're going to blow a tire, and just keeps driving. Like, if it wasn't because I heard the pop, I'd have been like, what are you talking about? He kept the truck literally on the road and literally just coasted right onto the shoulder.
True truck driver.
Oh, my God. It was insane.
True truck driver.
I was just like, and by the time I could react and say something, we were stopped. I was just like, what the hell?
Most truck drivers, when they blow a steer tire, freak out and go nuts.
Oh, yeah.
And Bobby stayed calm.
Oh, man. That, listen. I think he's, between me and him, I don't think you get any more calmer than the two of us put together. Yeah. Oh.
And these are the stories that like stuff like this that we shared all weekend.
Oh my God.
All weekend.
Yeah.
Like I said, and you said the same thing, you know, you guys got out of the truck, you come in the parking lot, and it was like, I've known both of you for years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we got, what, maybe 45 minutes together Friday night just to get you guys to the hotel, get you settled, and then Saturday morning you guys come down the hall. And
but think about
hugs
it.
And hugs and handshakes and just amazing.
Between the time that you called me in July and the time and right now, we've literally talked for less than 6 hours.
Right.
Like, we haven't spoken that much because we've been too damn busy.
Well, ain't that the truth?
But life, we have enough stopped stories to tell for days. And those,
oh, yeah,
the amount of short time that we've physically spent either next to each other or talking has been, I want to say, less than 10 hours.
Yeah, exactly. It blows my mind. I mean, if any, and even some of the guys here in town's like, did you know these guys before they come up?
Nope.
I said, no. I sent a message, started talking to them. We have a few phone conversations here and there, texting back and forth. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, like my best friend, Julian, the one that was directing traffic and trying to get everything coordinated at the fire hall while we were making our way.
See, he's another one. It's used to, because I kept calling him Josh. I was like, Jesus, man.
That's all right. It's all right. But, you know, he did an amazing job getting everything coordinated, getting everybody settled, you know. And I do want to say one thing, though. There was supposed to be a birthday party at the hall the day of this. And Cody Kraft was doing, it was supposed to be for his daughter. And he decided that this thing was going to be huge, and he moved his party to another fire hall. I just want to say thank you to Cody.
Oh, man. That was,
you know.
Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that he had moved it either until that day. Because I called Julian when we were getting ready to leave Big Run. And I said, is Cody's party there? And he said, no. And I called Josh McAfee, who is the assistant chief at Station 30. And I said, hey, is he having his party at Lindsay? And he said, no, he moved it because he knew this thing was going to be huge. And he knew that this was really important to the community and stuff like that. And he just wanted to move it. So I want to say a big thank you to Cody.
Oh, definitely.
That was amazing. That he did that. And he reserved our hall. But he also told me, he says, Matt, you do what you got to do. Big thank you to Cody.
Definitely. Thank you, Mr. Cody.
Oh, God. Yeah. And he is a lieutenant at Station 30, so which is Elk Run. And they're the ones that own the Flashover Club where we did the benefit.
Nice.
So, huge, huge thank you. But but we got to talk about the little MacGyver skills, though.
Listen.
Bobby's MacGyver skills.
Did you see? He showed you what he did to the truck on Sunday, right?
Oh yeah. So you know, Saturday evening, we're done with the benefit, and you guys let me ride in the truck. Just that was like the biggest thing. We got to talk about that though, because. I laugh now, but we did the little escort, the little parade.
Yes.
And Bobby's yelling at me in the truck, hey, where we got to park? And I couldn't even say a word when we're pulling into Lindsay.
So
I was like in tears.
And I don't know how. I got to send you the raw cut of the video. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking on the way there, and you can barely hear anything.
Right.
The minute I say small, just a few people, you can hear your voice crack saying, yeah, just a few people.
Well, yeah, because you leaned over me, and you're looking, because what was awesome, you let me sit. What would be the officer seat in
the captain truck.
And you sat in the middle and you leaned over me and looked, and then I looked and I'm like, small? Really?
I'd say there was about 100 people there.
At least.
Yeah.
At least. And that was it. I was done. And one of the firefighters said to me, and that was the first thing I thought of too, and no disrespect by this, but they said, Braden's small little bald head gleaming in the sun, which we all know when with chemo,
yes,
everybody loses their hair. But I'm like, I was like, dude, that was the same thought I had. As soon as Eric said the little small crowd we got, I'm like, small. That I was done.
Yeah.
I saw Braden sitting there. I saw Lindsay sitting there. That was it. And then when Bobby said to me, park same spot that we were earlier, I couldn't respond.
Yeah.
The waterworks started. I feel so privileged. So privileged to be able to be in that truck with you guys. You don't even understand how much that meant to me that I could ride with you guys.
Listen, and I made sure, because when I said you're riding with us, and you looked at me like, I guess I said, no, you're riding with us.
Well, and I'd asked you guys if I could do that, and it didn't get brought up again until that morning, afternoon.
Yeah.
And that meant more to me than anything, to be able to ride in Jackie and be a part of this. Now, we had some issues.
No, us have issues. Yeah.
You know, but that meant so much to me. And I think that was a lot of the emotion. And you guys told me it was coming. And I'm like, nah, I'll be all right. Yeah, no, I wasn't. Yeah. Couldn't even take pictures.
It actually caught me off guard too. Cause like I posted something Friday morning or Friday afternoon when I left, as everyone graciously reminded me all weekend. I posted something Saturday morning, so I'm like, all right, do my Sunday morning post. And it took me a good 20 minutes to post a little bit that I posted. I took the phone and I went to say, hey, Punxsutawney, and literally faucet opened. I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, I just survived yesterday and I was fine. And like, literally, I'm like, all right, I need to do something because I'm never going to put a video. And I did
I still beat you. Yeah. I still beat you, though.
But yeah, because it took me half hour just to talk. I couldn't even talk. I was just like, holy cow.
I still beat you, though.
Yeah.
I got more crying time on camera than you did.
You got more crying time all weekend than I did.
I know.
And it doesn't get easier either.
Well, I know that, but and it shouldn't get any easier.
No.
Because you know what? This what you guys do is so amazing. And this is why I want to be a part of this. I mean, my mother's mom died of cancer. And the sad part is my mom and I don't talk. You know, and it's just one of them things.
Yeah.
We do when it's convenient to us, but we have different opinions, different views on things. You know, and that's hard. It's hard. You know, but again, this is where you go into everybody's family, no matter what, is touched by cancer.
Yeah.
My grandmother loved me to death. She did. And she was an amazing woman. You know, they're like, my life was always hard. You know, we had a house fire when I was a young kid, and that's probably what made me be what I am now. You know, I just want to give back and be a part of doing that with my community.
Yeah.
And now I've got more. After meeting you guys, I've got more that I can do. I thought I was at my what's the word I'm looking for? My peak.
Yeah.
I didn't think I could do anymore. I mean, I'm a firefighter one. I'm an EMT. I was a paramedic at one point. You know, I'm a rescue diver. At 40 years old, I went and got my certification to be a rescue diver. You know, just.
And that's the thing. Like, you, I'm amazed how much we were able to do, and you think there'd be more organizations or more community involvement, but there's not, and there's always room for more. Hell, I have two nonprofits because that same thing. I want to do more for the community, and we're a community of people that how we run into burning buildings for fun. Yeah. We volunteer to run into burning buildings. We volunteer to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and jump on an ambulance and go help someone.
That's right.
So like when I started all this, the podcast, took over the Pink Heels and started the Gray Strong Foundation. I was like, I do that on a daily living and I get paid for it and I love it. Why am I going to stop doing it when I'm not getting paid?
Well, it's like the guys at work. Why do you do what you do? I said, I don't know. There's just something in me that makes me want to do this. I've never understood it. I'll never understand it.
Yeah.
And I told you guys all weekend long, I don't want thanks for this. I don't want nothing for this. This is just me being me.
Doing what you do, what you love doing.
Right. And I hate being called a hero. I hate it because I don't get it. I never understood why I hate that. But and then like the thank yous. I didn't do this for praise. I didn't do this for thank yous. I do this because this is what I love.
Yes.
20 years. You know, everybody says to me, Matt, you're an amazing person. Well, no, I'm not. I can do more. But I'm real hard on myself, too. You know,
we're always our own worst critic.
Right, right. You know, I served my country in the military. So I started off my adult life volunteering to go be in the military. And I said, there's more that I can do. When I got out, there's more I can do. So I joined a fire company. And I'm like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I came across this by mistake.
Mm.
So I grew up in Jersey City. It's like Pittsburgh. It's a big city.
Oh, yeah. I know where Jersey City is.
Well, I can't even tell you what the closest volunteer fire department is or volunteer EMS squad, because it's just, I want to say maybe Teaneck or something like that. So, like, right. Completely foreign concept. Moved to Pennsylvania. My first phone bill was $600 because I kept calling people in Jersey because I didn't know anyone out here and I was bored. So my best friend, my kid's godfather, says, you need to stop calling me and go volunteer somewhere. Because he was on a volunteer squad. So he's like, you've always said you wanted... I was a banker 17 years ago. Literally worked at First Union, Wachovia now, or Wells Fargo now, as a teller manager in Bayonne, moved out here through the company, worked literally 9 to 5. And he's like, go volunteer. So I'm like, all right, I volunteer on the ambulance, get some calls. Showed up at a volunteer fire department, or at the time I thought it was a volunteer ambulance company. So I walked in and she's like, I'm like, hey, I'm here to volunteer. And the lady's like, fire EMS. And I literally, deer in the headlights. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, do you want to volunteer for the fire department or the EMS on the ambulance? I said, and I literally apologized to the lady. I said, I am so sorry. I just moved to the area. Are you telling me I can volunteer on a fire department? And she's like, yeah. I was like, sign me up. I literally filled out the paperwork, ran out to my car, and called a buddy of mine who is a legacy firefighter. His great grandfather, his grandfather, his uncle, his father, all firemen. He at the time was on a 2-year waiting list for the Jersey City Fire Department. I called him up. I said, Santos, guess what I just did? He's like, what? I'm like, I just joined the fire department. He's like, no, you didn't. And I told him, he goes, wait, there's what? Like, the whole volunteer concept was foreign to me and him. We're like, yeah, these people just volunteer. When they're not working, they're jumping on fire trucks. I was just like, I actually missed the second weekend of EMT school because I was on my honeymoon. Because I had moved up here. We were engaged. We had our wedding planned. And then literally, my life changed when they said you can volunteer. First EMS call that I went, I was hooked. I signed up for classes for EMT school in September, graduated in January, started fire school in January of the next year. and have never looked back.
Yeah. Same with me. I mean, I got out of the military and I wanted to do something more. So I was a government contractor. It was right around 9/11. And as a matter of fact, it was 2 months after 9/11. And I said, I got to do something else. I got to do something with my spare time. And I contacted Rockville Fire Department, which they were way north of me, where I lived at in Maryland. Which, well, I never thought of doing anything like this. Didn't know any firemen. Didn't know anybody that really did this. I said, hey, why not? Let's I can give back.
Yeah.
Maybe do something. Didn't know that they were the 11th biggest station in the country.
No.
Year-wise.
Nice.
And so I said, yeah, I'll try it. And they, and same thing. You want fire? You want EMS? I said, you know what? I'm afraid of fire because growing up, had a house fire.
Yeah.
You know? So I started on the EMS side. Went, did my EMT, impressed my instructors, just blew them away. And kept moving up the ladder, you know. And Maryland, just the way that their EMS system set up, I mean, they're top in the country.
Yeah.
You know, I got to fly on one of the troopers a couple times, you know, the trooper helicopters, because in Maryland, it's all done by the state police down there. Or the Capitol Police in D.C., if the troopers aren't available, the Capitol Police do the same thing. And got hooked. So I progressed and became a paramedic and then tried to get on the fire department. But never came, what's the right word I gotta say here?
Never came to fruition.
There you go. Dude, see, you're smart, dude.
I got you.
But it just, you had to be a firefighter to be involved with the county service.
Yeah.
And I was scared. Absolutely scared. I said, I can't do it. I can't. So, living down there, so close to D.C., you can't survive just being as a EMT or a paramedic, you know, work for a commercial ambulance service.
And that's what a lot of people don't realize, how much EMS in most states you can't survive.
Well, I'll give you an idea. So, you want to be an EMT? Forget it. You want to be a paramedic? Forget it. You ain't going to make a living doing that.
No.
You want to actually work for a fire department doing that kind of stuff. You make $30,000 a year in an area where $30,000 a year, complete poverty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, straight out. Up here, $30,000. To about 50,000, you can live a good life.
Yeah.
Support your family, pay the bills, whatever. Down there, my apartment that I was living in, I had three jobs at the time. So we're talking $1,200 a month for the place that I lived in. And we're talking 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. And I had a roommate then.
But that's the thing. Like, when I moved to Pennsylvania and found out about the whole volunteer, I was telling people, and I don't know, this was 17 years ago, 97% of the country's fire department are volunteer.
Right.
That was astonishing.
And you got to think. So we're talking 20 years ago. 20 years ago, Pennsylvania had well over 500,000 firefighters, volunteer firefighters. Now, just under 200,000.
Yeah, I still believe that.
It's nuts. It's nuts.
I've seen in the past 10 years, 4 EMS stations go under and close their doors because they don't have the volunteer.
Down your way.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And I've heard that and heard that and heard that. We have one in the county, one ambulance service in the county that's truly paid. We have Somerville, Sykesville, and Reynoldsville that are complete volunteer ambulance services.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how those guys survive. I don't know how they survive. They still keep going. Their doors are still open, but I don't know how they survive. You know, it hurts.
Yeah.
It completely hurts because they're providing a service, complete volunteer. Our paid folks, I love all of them to death because 90% of them are involved in a fire department somehow, some way. But like down in Maryland, my house, we had an engine, a rescue, a tower. We had a medic unit, an ambulance, and support staff. After I left, they went to an engine, a rescue, a tower, a backup rescue, a backup engine, 2 medic units, and 2 ambulances. And they volunteers still staff those trucks at night.
Wow.
You know, it just, down there, everybody wants to make the big money. You know, and like up here, we have an ambulance service. Separate, nothing to do with the fire company. Then we have the fire companies. It's crazy. Like night and day. And like you guys, you know, we're right there. Like Maryland is less than 2 hours away from me up here.
I worked in Jersey for 10 years. Literally, I can walk to the state line from my house, walk across the state line into Jersey.
Right.
I was working at an ambulance company when I first started in Jersey for about 8 years before I started working in Jersey. ALS company, 2 trucks during the day, 1 at night. Well-established ALS company.
Right.
As an EMT, I made $7 more when I crossed the state line to drive a transport truck. I made more as a driving a transport truck in Jersey than I did working in an ALS station in Pennsylvania.
Wow. And what? Okay, so what is an EMT down there make now? EMT, basic out of class, coming in.
In our county, about $13.
Wow.
Yeah.
Want to know what they make up here?
I'm afraid to find out.
Under 10.
What?
Under 10.
Yeah.
You know what our paramedics make? 13.
What? Yeah.
I'm telling you, bud.
And that's when people assume, you know how many times I've mentioned having 1, 2 jobs or 3 jobs, and they're like, but you're an EMT, like, don't you make? I'm like, no, I don't make enough to support my family.
Right. Do you know what I make as a firefighter? When I run into a building to save your kids or save your family or save your dog, you know what I make?
Zero.
Zero.
Yep.
Absolutely zero. But you know what?
Wouldn't change it for the world.
Damn straight. Damn straight.
Yep.
Just like you guys. What do you do on the weekends?
You drive out to Punxsutawney.
You come to Punxsutawney. What did you make this past weekend?
Zero.
Zero. And that's why I want to do what you guys do.
Listen, you already do it. You're just going to get a pink fire truck to do it even more.
Well, we'll work on it. Because I'm going to tell you what. I'm proud to know you, Bobby, your family, just un-freaking believable. Your family, your family blew my mind. You guys come up on Friday.
Yeah.
Saturday morning, I'm standing at the hall. This little gray car pulls up. You go running over. I'm like, I looked at Bobby and said, who's that? Oh, that's his wife and kids. I said, what? Where'd they come from? Well, they drove up this morning. Like, what the hell? All right. So at that point, I'm thinking, yeah, I ain't going to get to ride in the truck. So we get the big run. They follow us over. And you look right at me after we did the pictures with the baskets and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're riding a truck with us? I'm like, well, yeah, okay. They followed us up right behind Jackie, yes. Right behind. And if anybody doubts it, look at the video. They're right behind. We get over the hall. And there they are. So we go to we do our thing there. Then they unpack the truck too.
Yeah.
Unpack the truck, sold shirts, repack the truck. We go down to the flashover club. They unpack the truck again, set everything up. We're done. Repack the truck. I'm like, they staying? Nope. Heading home tonight. Dude,
you missed the part where they actually did inventory count and reorganize.
Well, that's what they were doing the whole time up at the flash over there. And that was the other thing. I'm asking your wife, hey, what does this cost? What does this cost? And she's folding t-shirts and just wow. And then drove home that night. Didn't stay, drove home.
Yeah,
your family.
My daughter had to be at a confirmation retreat Sunday morning.
Your family's amazing, dude.
Oh, I tell them that all the time. She makes fun of me. She's like, you're a celebrity. I said, no, you guys are. I'm just the face of the organization.
But they are amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Doing what they did. They drove up, granted, now riding in Jackie. She's an older truck, takes a little longer.
Yeah.
But they drove up Saturday morning and then went home Saturday night. Just wow, dude, to have that kind of support. I mean, what does that mean to you? You're supposed to be interviewing me. What does that mean to you? That, well, I'm turning the tables.
Yeah, it's just words can't explain it. And it was something, that when I first started this, I literally turned to my wife. I said, back when I was asked to be president of Pink Heels, I said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it with you guys. If you guys tell me no, we don't want to do this, I'm not going to do it. And I still tell her, I said, hey, listen, you wake up tomorrow morning and tell me I want to do something else. I'm tired of this. I'm like, we're closing the doors because this is bigger than me. And without their support, Bobby's support, Faith. And when you meet, you think my family's crazy. You haven't met Bobby and Bobby's wife and his two daughters and son-in-law. And they're just amazing people. And I'm just literally like, I just stand back and just let them do their thing. And it's funny because a couple months ago, I jokingly said I started giving out nicknames. And I realized half of the time, like, I go to do something. Like, I literally get told no more than I tell them no. My daughter runs that table better than I do. Like, I literally turn to them and say, how can I help you? And it's just something, and it's just...
Buddy, your kids are amazing.
Oh.
Your kids are amazing. And your wife, amazing.
Listen.
What they did this weekend.
My son the other day, we went to an event, and we're like, we're going to cancel the event because we're like, if it rains, we don't want to be driving out in the rain. And then if it rains, no one can send the truck. So the weather held out just enough to con us and get us on the road. So we get there and it's wet. And like you see, when we show up, we don't have time to take out the stuff from the trucks.
Right.
So the point where I'm like, we need a trailer so we can easily just deploy the trailer. Because it's a mob and everyone's like, do you have this? Do you have that? Can we sign? And but that's what we love.
But everybody listening, you hear this, right? Make sure you donate. Somebody's got a trailer. Somebody's got a trailer and a truck. Truck will travel.
So
we'll travel too.
Exactly.
We need a merchandise trailer.
And Bobby can rig it to the back of Jackie so we can just pull it with Jackie. But we get to this place and the truck is wet because it's been raining. And some lady is like, can I sign? And I'm like, And someone has me like, well, we have towels. And I gave my son a towel, said, hey, Junior, because that's his nickname, Junior.
Right.
Wiped the truck. I didn't have time to unload the truck. I turn around. Jackie is dry as a whistle. I was just like, holy crap. He just went to town. And Bobby looked at him and goes, you wish it was Margaret, didn't you? But they're amazing. And
like, your family blows my mind.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just telling you right now. For them to show up, and you didn't even tell me.
Here's another thing. My family, and they're going to kill me for saying this because they're always blaming on me. We're notorious for being late to things.
Now I have to say something.
We were late on Friday.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's just us. By
3 hours.
Dude, I got up around 8. Because you're like, oh, I'm going to call you around 10 to meet up at 11. So I got up around 8. I looked at my phone, and we have that app, Life 360. They were already on the road at 7:30 in the morning. I was like, they've never been on time. And then that was my first inclination. I'm like, oh, this is going to be epic. Because my family's on time. And I was just like, yeah, they amaze me every single day.
And how excited were they, though?
Oh.
I mean, seriously, about coming up here.
Dude, they've been talking about was just the convoy that they got to drive in the convoy with the car. That's all they talked about. They thought it was the coolest thing.
All I got to say is I love your family. They're amazing. I just mind blowing. And I'm sorry, my dogs are whining and yipping and being silly in the background. They're like kids, you know, you get on the phone and they start their thing. So anybody listening, you hear the dogs whining, they're fine. It's just the way that they are, get on the phone and they start that.
Because they want the attention.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're like kids. You get on the phone, they start causing trouble.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't even tell me. And when they showed up, I was talking to Bobby, and he says, oh, yeah, that's Eric's family. I said, what? Wait, what the hell?
Yeah. I keep telling him I'm going to, oh my God. What's the vinyl or wrap the cars? It's like that. They know that when we're driving somewhere, they know that the car is part of the convoy.
Exactly. You should do that.
I am.
You should do that. Put the Pink Heels logo all over it.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because my wife, I think I literally own more pink clothing than my wife does. Every time I leave the house, I come back, she's like, you're wearing pink again. I'm like, yeah, it's me. Like, I can think of 5 items that she has that's pink. And I can't even count the amount of pink stuff that I have.
All right, so now, so everybody knows, lots of joking, lots of having fun. Knowing how this felt this weekend, I got to ask. You probably wear pink underwear, too, don't you?
I don't kiss and tell.
That's a yes.
Oh. But yeah, it's just
we're gonna have a conversation off the podcast, pal.
I'll tell you where I buy them so you can get yourself a pair. Don't worry.
Oh God! So I do want to discuss yesterday. Well, now it's Tuesday, so we're gonna discuss Sunday. Seriously.
Sunday? What happened Sunday?
Really? What happened Sunday? 20 minutes it took you to make that video.
Oh, my God. It sure did.
You talk about the whole feeling like home and stuff like that. Here's what I'm going to say. All right, so we're going to talk about, we'll talk about Saturday night after the benefit. So we extended the benefit by 2 hours.
Yes.
And I got to ride in a truck for the parade.
Yes.
And then
we did the second home visit Saturday night.
Oh my God. You guys looked at me and said, Matt, you're coming with us. I said, well, my ride left. So I'm
you didn't really have a choice.
Up in the air, let's go. And we went out to see Braden.
Yes.
You guys asking me to go. I'm not, again, and I keep saying this, but blew my mind. It blew my mind. Just being able to go and see Braden and the family and doing what you guys did. Blew my mind. Just did. And then when I said, hey guys, we're going diving, we're training, I felt really crappy because I wanted to say goodbye on Sunday morning. And you guys went and did a visit with Lindsay, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then came out to see us before you left.
Mm-hmm.
Meant more to me than you guys will ever know. I mean, seriously. I figured you guys would want to get home and stuff like that, but I get out of the water, I'm in the truck, drying off, and I hear, and the freaking cue going off. I'm like, there they come.
Yeah, we did.
And sure enough.
It's just bad manners. You don't leave someone's house without saying goodbye.
I know, but there comes Jackie barreling down the road. And I'm standing over at the lake, and I'm like, unreal. Tears again.
What?
Oh, dude. I was bawling. I was bawling.
Nice.
Seeing Jackie come, and then he turns in the wrong drive, and I'm like, all right, Bobby's being a dumbass.
That was his navigator's fault. Because it looked like that road that first...
Yeah, it does. It looked like that road went back to where we were at.
Yeah, and then...
So I'm waving at you and... Oh,
well, God. I told him to turn in there, but the incline into the driveway was too steep for Jackie to take.
Oh, all right.
Because if not, we would have so pulled in there and got to the end of that cul-de-sac and it would have been like, oh, crap.
Well, so now we're going to rename your nickname. It's no longer Navigator. It's going to be Un-Navigator.
Un-Navigator. No, I'm still good. I'm still good. Bobby trying to make left turns. I'm still good.
But, again, like I keep saying, blew my mind.
But here's the thing. You would have done the same thing. If the tables were returned.
Oh, yeah. In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. The friendships, the brotherhood that we created this weekend. Wow. Wow. And for me to start my journey that I'm about to start.
But do you know that me and Bobby have only known each other for about 4 years?
Okay. And I've only known you guys for about what?
6 hours.
Oh. I'd bend over backwards for you guys. You tell me there's something wrong at home or whatever, hop in the car and drive down. That's how crazy this is.
Yeah.
It's, you felt like you were at home here. I guarantee you when I come down there.
Oh.
Same thing.
Guaranteed.
Same thing. I mean, dude, for me to hop on and call people to get prices for gear, pink gear. Like that. As soon as you said it, I called our gear guy for Globe.
I figured you did.
I did. Because you know what? I'll look good in pink.
That you will. That you will. Now we got to find your helmet, too.
Now I got prices for that, too.
Nice.
And you know what it's going to say till we get our thing going here? Sleep belt.
Nice.
When we get our thing going here, you know what my helmet's going to say?
Captain. I'm putting in an order for the baseball cap because we all have baseball caps.
God, I love you. I love you, Eric.
Love you too, brother.
It's gonna say Punxsutawney Slate Belt. Once we get our chapter going, it's still gonna stay the same. It's still gonna stay the same. Straight out, no doubt. Because you guys are an inspiration. And I told you earlier today, we're going to be, when you need us, we're coming. And I know it'll be the same with you guys.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I don't think we were outside of the county and we were making plans to come back to, me and Bobby were making plans to come back and visit. This time he's going to bring his golf clubs.
That's funny as heck, too. Yeah. He found a golf course.
Yeah, he's like, shit. And it's funny because that morning, that Sunday morning, he's like, we need to pack the golf clubs on Jackie so we have them all ties. I'm like, we're not going to, like, we tore the whole town. There was no golf course. Makes a wrong turn.
Makes a left.
It was a golf course. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
That's why he wanted to make the left the whole weekend.
Oh my God, he sure did. He sure did. To the Saturday morning, I like yelled at him. He's like, you gotta make a left here. I said, Bobby, the GPS, I put the address in the GPS. The GPS is telling us make a right. He's like, oh, is it? I said, yes. So he makes the right. Sunday morning, I was trying to put in, because Christine had told us to let us know when we drove by so she can be at the window. Right. I'm like, well, if we're driving by, we're stopping. Like, we're not driving by your house. So I'm putting in her address and trying to put in your address. And because I wasn't paying attention, I look up and he's making the left turn. I'm like, damn it, Bobby. Which in turn I put the address in wrong. I put in the address to the meeting point because I got to Lindsay's and I go to Scott. Are they diving down the street? He's like, no, they're diving down at the lake. I was like, I put in the wrong address. It's like, oh man. He goes, yeah, you got to go back. I was like, oh man. And then he told us how to get back, and I was like, all right. So we literally did a U-ey in some shop down the street from Scott's and drove back to the lake.
Which was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Even though I got more cookies, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was just going to say. Bobby ate half the cookies, so
good. Listen, I keep telling my kids I have a body of a god, and it needs to be maintained. Buddha's a god, so... all right, brother. Okay, what were you gonna say?
This weekend, just amazing.
It's gonna be the first of many weekends like this.
I hope so. And I'm so excited that I was looking at fire trucks today.
Don't
honestly found quite a few under the $20,000 range that would work good and look amazing in pink.
Oh yeah. It's going to happen.
It's going to take time. It's going to take time, but
listen, we got a year. We got till the last weekend in September to get you up and running. That's our goal.
Well, let's do it. I'm there. I'm ready. Like I told you earlier on the phone, you know, if the fire department doesn't want to do it, which I guarantee you they will.
Oh yeah.
I'll do it on my own. I am completely dead set on this, and we need.
No, you'll do it with your with the chapter you belong to. You'll do it with us.
We'll do it together.
Exactly.
We will do this together because I guarantee you, if I call you once the chapter here is established, you'll come and I.
Listen. So. To the like I told you, we weren't even out of the county. So me and Bobby are going to set up and open up a Dunkin' Donuts in town.
And we're in Punxsy?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, yeah. Yep, yep. You're golden.
That's our goal.
I'll be there every day.
Oh, yeah. He's like, we won't make much money because we'll be giving out coffee. I said, but still, we'll have a place to go to. We won't have to drive 14 miles to go get a cup of coffee.
We're the only town in the area that doesn't have a Dunkin'.
Dude, I think Bobby cried on, was it Saturday morning? Because he tried the Wolfgang Puck coffee. It was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like, yeah. Like Bobby drinks like 4 cups of coffee a day on a bad day.
Unimart has really good coffee. Unimart in town has the best coffee in town.
So he's like, we're like, we got to find a Dunkin' Donut. So we put in the GPS and it's like 14 miles away. We're like, we're not getting coffee today.
Did you guys stop in Clearfield and get Dunkin'?
Clearfield... Yes, because that's the first. Well, here's the thing. So Bobby's like, we need to get gas. I'm like, all right. So I'm looking. We're on.
All right. So I have to correct you. I have to correct you now. You're not getting gas. You're getting fuel.
Yes. I always do that.
Does Bobby do that too?
Oh, no. He does it to me. Like, he corrects me.
That's what I'm saying. Does he correct you when you should get gas?
Well, and that's what I was going to say. Because he says, we have to get fuel. And I'm like, all right. And we're looking. And in good Bobby and me fashion, he gets on the highway. And he's like, looks at the gauge. He's like, where is this again? I said, it's literally, what's it, 115? We get on 153 onto 80. He looks at the gauge. It's literally on E. He's like, we should have enough gas to get us there. I'm like, it's 10 miles. He goes, I think we'll make it.
Typical truck driver.
Oh, yeah. So we're rolling down 80, and the first sign for the exit, is it the Clearfield exit?
Yeah, yeah.
So the first sign that we see has the what food does it have? And it has, I see the Dunkin' Donuts sign, and I yell, hallelujah, and start clapping, and he goes, I see what you see, brother. We're definitely stopping. To the point where the sheets is after the Dunkin' Donuts, we're like, do we have enough gas to pull into Dunkin' Donuts now, or do we go to Sheets first?
Really? Like,
it was literally a conversation that we had out loud. And I was just like, oh, I'm like, let's go to Sheets. I'm like, he's like, okay. Like, we literally were going to pull into the Dunkin' Donuts first, knowing that we probably didn't have enough gas to make it to the Sheets.
No, wait. Did you realize once you got into Sheets that the Dunkin' Donuts is right next door?
No, because we slowed down. Because we slowed down to pull into the Dunkin' Donuts first. And we're looking at each other. He looks at the gauge and we're like, let's go get gas first. Because with our luck, we would have pulled into Dunkin' Donuts and then realized that we didn't have enough gas to make it to Sheets. Like, it was literally on empty.
Wow. Like,
we put $100 in fuel and it only made it just shy of 3/4.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, she's a big truck.
She is. But you know what? That $100, we got 2 minutes outside of the shop where we park her. And we had enough gas to get from Clearfield to Bangor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That $100.
$100.
She's a good girl.
Oh yeah.
Jackie's a girl, good girl.
Yeah, and then the minute he checked her, he's like, she'll do the trip. And it was literally not even a second thought. The minute we knew that she can do the trip and we wouldn't go deaf, we were like, we're going to Punxsutawney.
Well, look, Margaret's got to make a trip too.
Oh, yeah.
She's got to make a trip too. So if I've got to drive down there and drive Margaret up with headphones on, I'll do it.
All right.
I'm not even kidding.
I know.
Not even kidding. Dude, this, wow. It's going to get big. I don't know.
And even if it doesn't, we're okay with that.
Well, I know that, but
we like what we do, and
what we were in the middle of a conversation earlier, before my parents called, and what you guys are gonna do if the day comes.
Wow.
Mind blowing.
Not even a thought. And like, we're just gonna jump in his car and just head out. Like, we'd beat feet without even a second thought.
You don't even have to have the truck. Mm-hmm. Just by you guys saying that you're gonna do that, mind blowing. Mind blowing. Just unreal. And again, you made me cry tonight. Thank you.
Anytime. My wife yells at me. She goes, "You like doing that?" I said, "I really don't." Like, we were at the hotel, and one of the ladies at the hotel, she's like, "What do you guys do?" And I said three words, and she was in tears. And I was just like, "What the hell?" She goes, "You came to see Braden, didn't you?" And I was like, "Oh." And then she's telling me how she knows Braden and how her kids were in kindergarten. And I was just like, oh, man. And she's like in tears. And then she like literally gets enough strength to stop crying. And she goes, "Can I ask you a question?" I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "Do you spend all your time crying?" I was like, "No one's ever asked me that question." She's like, "It's a legit question." I said, "No, it is a legit question. But no one's ever asked me that question. And I thought it was funny." But yeah.
But you guys were troopers this weekend. Yes. Yes, buddy. You did cry yesterday.
I did.
And I did too. I still beat you. We can have like crying competitions on Facebook.
That works for me.
Your little video that you did was awesome. It was funny and emotional at the same time.
I would say which one, the first one or the second one?
I only saw the one.
No, because the first one was hysterical. I had people that I don't even think were in the fire department coming up to me and goes, "Oh, that video was funny." I was like, "What?" I had some kids say it to me. I was just like, holy cow. Like, I told Bobby, I said, I drove up 300 miles to be known as the guy who hit the siren. And he starts laughing. He goes, "Yep, that's all they're going to remember." I'm like, "Well, I'm okay with that."
you're like, "It's not me. It's not me."
Yeah.
Because you can see Bobby in the background getting ready to pull the horn.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
You see him diving over back into the seat to hit the siren.
Yep.
Just, oh God. Anybody that doesn't know the two of you personally, what went on this weekend was amazing. Again, met you guys for the first time Friday night. And just the way you guys accepted me was outstanding. We had an hour. We'll say an hour.
Yeah.
Friday night. And then Saturday, just first 10 minutes, I was family.
Oh, yeah. You were family the minute you called and said, can you guys come and see this little girl?
I get that. But, dude, just mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. It was an amazing weekend.
Yeah.
And our conversation tonight, I mean, everybody listening, just how you could not even think that we've known each other for years. Just the conversation we're having. We met this weekend, and the conversation.
What? 48 just, and almost 72 showed. Hours ago.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows the brotherhood. It's amazing.
Hey, that's...
We're all famous now.
Yeah.
Everybody in Florida loves us.
It's insane. His sister sent him that video or that message about Florida. I was like, how the heck we make Florida?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's elsewhere in the country. Oh, yeah. I'm sure it is. I've had crazy wild numbers call me all day from out of state. It's what we did this weekend was amazing.
Yeah.
You guys were amazing.
Remember this because you're going to have the same conversation with someone and you're going to like telling you the same thing and you're going to be like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't do nothing.
I didn't do anything this weekend.
You did
it. You guys did. No, I did nothing this weekend. You guys did.
Listen, like I tell people in the ambulance, like, so people call me, you know, they call you when they need help and they're like, they're so grateful. And I tell people, I didn't do anything. You did the hard part. You made the phone call. Like, I can't do what I do without your people like you who makes those phone calls. Just like I can't save lives if no one dials 911.
True.
And but that's what I try to convey to the 8 departments that were out there. And they looked at me like, what do you mean we did the hard part? I'm like, because it doesn't happen.
But you know what? This weekend wasn't hard.
No, I know. It's not. But it takes that first phone call.
Exactly. Or that first message.
Yes.
The first message. Hey. Would you guys be interested? And look what happened.
Yeah.
I met the 2 most greatest men on the planet.
When did you do that?
This weekend.
Oh, where were they?
In a pink fire truck called Jackie.
A pink fire truck called Jackie.
You guys are my family. You guys are my brothers.
That we are.
You guys did the most amazing thing ever. And I will never, never, ever, ever forget this.
Oh, we won't let you forget it. Don't worry.
When we have Punxsutawney. Excuse me. Pink Heels. Punxsutawney. Groundhog Chapter. Showing up on the website. It's because of you guys.
We our greatest achievement.
You guys are my heroes.
Listen,
you guys,
we don't like that word as much as you do. We're just two ordinary guys who happen to have two pink fire trucks.
Yeah, and I'll be just an ordinary guy that hopefully has a pink fire truck and a great following, too.
Oh, yeah.
I have a crew that's ready, so we're going to get this done.
Oh, yeah. Just in time for our pink festival.
There you go. There you go, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Eric.
All right, brother.
I have to get my sorry ass to bed.
Yes. You have to be at work in the morning.
Yes. But I want to say, love what happened this weekend. Love what we have.
Yes.
Bobby, you, your family, Bobby's family, the support, just outstanding, mind-blowing. Emotional roller coaster, straight up and down. My daughter got her t-shirt today and fell in love.
Nice.
All she could see was the pink fire truck. It says, Daddy, I love it.
Nice.
When she's got preschool tomorrow, she's going to wear it on Wednesday when she comes here, and there will be pictures posted.
Nice. I look forward to them.
Absolutely excited. I washed both of my Pink Hill shirts yesterday, and I got one on again tonight.
Nice.
And I'm going to get more.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. And my dogs are beating themselves up. Stop, guys.
They're like, he's not gonna pay attention. We'll get his attention.
They're ready to go to bed, and they're like pounding the crap out of each other. But look, what happened this weekend? Wow. Anybody that's friends with Eric, friends with me, you guys saw me in tears. You saw Eric in tears yesterday. Just please support them. Support both when we get them going. Buddy, I'm at a loss of words. I really am. And I love the fact we talk every day.
We're brothers. Brothers do.
I know, but... You know, it's weird. It just, not weird. It's great. It's great.
Yeah.
It's just, the weird part is that you can meet somebody for the first time and have that connection. It's amazing. It's amazing. Support. Pink Hill Slate Belt Division or Chapter, or I'm sorry, Chapter. Let's get busy.
Let's do this.
Let's get busy.
We're going to have a convoy of pink trucks and pink ambulances.
Hell yeah, buddy. Hell Matt. Yeah. We'll get our first truck and then we'll start growing. Let's do this. Let's make everything great and leave a amazing dynasty. I'm excited, bud.
Oh yeah.
I'm absolutely excited.
2020 is gonna be it's gonna be an awesome year.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
All right, so you get some rest. And send pictures of the little one with the t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. I definitely will on Wednesday.
All right.
So, all right, Navigator.
Later, Captain.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Well, folks, thank you for tuning in. This has been my podcast, My Parkinson's Journey. And as always, I am your host, the Trembling EMT. Stay strong, keep moving forward.